No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Black Friday, well, shop Wayfair now. Month-long big deals, yeah, these are steals.
70% less money spent.
You can't go wrong, check out this song. Best gift in core, Black Friday scores.
Garlands and trees,
saving with ease.
Lights for your house, lamps for your spouse.
Save at Wayfair.
On dining chairs, mattresses, two sheets that are you. Everything home, these things in chrome. Here's a quick plug, area roads. Fast shipping, wow, Wayfair is how.
Win the season, win the win the season.
Welcome in to the Rockies Insider. I am your host, Patrick Lyons, bringing you news from Coors Field. First home series, first series in general with new hitting coach Clint Hurdle at the helm. Got an opportunity to speak with him, Bud Black, some of the young players on the roster. I want you to listen to some audio of Clint and Braxton Fulford, who has a great story about how he learned he was getting called up to the majors, how he was going to be making his major league debut in Los Angeles. Funny story. If you just want that story, you can head on over to YouTube on the Rockies Insider channel, where you can see that video along with Chase Dolander talking a little bit about his start on Saturday, Clint Hurdle on what his role is going to be with this team. Yeah, he's the hitting instructor, but there's more to it than just that. But let's get things started with some of the transactions from the start of the day that really was, it had my head spinning because there was so much going on with five different players. And it was kind of a whole lot of nothing at the end because, okay, Tovar is on the 10-day IL. That was probably the biggest one in a sense, retroactive to April 16th with that left hip contusion. Buddy thinks he'll be out the minimum 10 days, but it is something that could impact him for the rest of this season. Remember, he hurt that hip on a couple dives, the first of which came in that opening series in Tampa on a George M. Steinbrenner field that had been played on the entirety of spring training. So it was simply just not a great condition for a field to be in. So that's kind of impacted his play, probably more defensively than offensively. He's just been unlucky, I think, offensively, but hitting the ball really hard. Brenton Doyle went on the bereavement list, which we had seen that go down, I want to say maybe Thursday night. And then Austin Gomber goes to the 60-day IL. Spoke with him and a couple other reporters. Just a logistical move to create room on the 40-man roster, especially because there was nobody else really to replace Ezekiel Tovar as the shortstop on this current roster. Sure, Kyle Farmer's already up. Adiel Amador is already up, but literally no one else is healthy on the 40-man roster. Tyler Freeman and Tyro Estrada, the two other middle infielders, but really just second baseman. Freeman can play some center field as well. But speaking with Gomber, nothing has really changed. You know, he hasn't picked up a baseball since that outing on March 28th, the opening night debut for the Isotopes, where he was rehabbing, got the PRP injection after that, lost some range of mobility, which I believe happens when you get that kind of a shot. And so he's got that back and he's doing some other exercises to keep strong. But, you know, I asked him like, okay, is this going to be like spring training where you're going to need maybe 6 weeks? And he said, it might be a little bit longer than that simply because, you know, he's got to build up first. Like he's not, you know, these guys come ready in spring training to go. in really great shape to begin with, but they need 6 weeks to stretch out. He's going to need more than that because he hasn't been on a throwing program because he's been shut down. He's been resting. So that could prove somewhat problematic, you know, for this rotation, especially if someone else gets hurt, because Gomber's not coming back anytime soon. I mean, maybe late May, maybe even June at this point. I don't know. But they're definitely walking a tightrope right now in terms of that rotation. Coming in, Jordan Beck gets recalled despite batting around 100 with an OPS at about 300. And Yankiel Fernandez still waiting to make his debut and playing well, you know, probably average to above average, yet Beck gets that opportunity first. He struck out his first two at-bats, walked, had a big bases-clearing triple on Saturday before striking out, looking to end the game. So at least, you know, he was able to get a little momentum going with that triple. And then added to the 40-man roster to take up one of those middle infield spots is Aaron Shunk. He comes back. I talked about it a couple days ago. You don't want to burn one of your young prospects right now, or rather you don't want to add someone like a Ryan Ritter when he might not be ready first off. So that's a bad spot to put him in. But you call him up when Tovar comes off the IL. Well, you know, you're using all 40 spots on your 40-man roster. How are you going to now create room if you need something somewhere else? With Shunk, he's back up. He knows his role. And when the time comes for them to add somebody on the 40-man, unfortunately, Shunk can get designated for assignment, probably stick around the organization. And again, it's a win-win kind of transaction. So it allows you to play with that 40-man roster with really more than 40 guys. Whereas if you have nothing but, say, young prospects or just young player types, you have zero flexibility. And the Rockies right now have close to zero flexibility right now in terms of that, which is not great. During this game, Mackenzie Gore, all of us said in the press box, basically, yeah, you know, 10 strikeouts is pretty much a lock for him. And it was. He struck out 13 through only six innings. He probably could have gone a lot more, but was at about 104 pitches, but was only the eighth player to ever strike out 13 Rockies at Coors Field in a start. We hadn't seen it since Jacob deGrom back in 2020 when the first game of a doubleheader. I can remember watching him just carving up a Rockies offense that was definitely better than this one. Probably not as good as the one in 2018 when Freddie Peralta came up, made his major league debut on Mother's Day, no less, May 13th, and struck out 13. You've got John Gray with that big one against the Padres in 2016, September 17th to be exact. Oliver Perez, forgot about him. The most impressive part of his 13 strikeout performance back in 2002, July 7th, he was 20 years old. That's bonkers. Everybody on this list, except the first two guys to do it, were actually younger than Mackenzie Gore. I thought, oh, he's 26 years old. You know, I wonder where that stacks up. No, it was really, or rather, DeGrom was 32, and then Randy Johnson, who did it in 2001, he was, I think, 37 at the time. He struck out 14 against the Rockies in 2001. Sean Chacon was about 25 when he did it in 2001. How about that for a name? 13K. And then the first guy to ever do it, Pedro Martinez, back in 1997, struck out 13. So Gore just was outstanding. He had 28 swing and misses, which is the most for him ever. 28 is just an absurd number. The Rockies were, they just had no chance whatsoever. They were able to score two runs against him in the second inning. Jacob Stallings drew a two-out walk. And then Mickey Moniak, with his third home run of the season, 429 to center field, now has homers in back-to-back games. He had himself a nice contest. He ended up driving in a run in the ninth inning to make it a one-run ball game. Moniak also reached base two other times. But this was a game that was 12-2 at one point, as Chase Dolander just didn't have it. Gave up a home run early to Dylan Cruz, his first of the season, hit three last year. Ended up giving up a home run to start the fourth inning to Josh Bell. Okay, there's his two. He's given up two home runs in all three of his starts. It'll probably end there. Then James Wood ends up adding a home run for himself. And then the first pitch that Dolander threw after that, 100.1 miles an hour. I believe that is the first time he's touched 100 on the radar at the major league level. I asked him about this. You can go check out that answer on youtube.com/Rockies_insider. Actually, I don't know that that's the exact address, but just search Rockies Insider when you get to YouTube, and you can see his answer to, you know, just letting it out there, letting off a little bit of steam. He stuck around, and in the fifth inning, ends up giving up a second home run, 428 even further, to just about the same spot to right center field to Dylan Cruz. So the two young boppers for the Nats, Wood, Cruz, they both homer in the same game for the first time in Nationals history. That could be a dynamic duo for the next decade. We'll see if they can retain both of those guys, but they certainly look to be two young studs that are going to be around for a very long time and are just getting their career started. So just not a great performance on a cool day. It wasn't too bad. We had the windows open in the press box. It felt nice. But with the Nuggets going early and the Avs going late, you know, decent results there, obviously, for those teams. There wasn't a ton of attention paid to the Rockies. They got about 24,000. I don't know if it felt like it was that many. It could have been. I think it was. But 24,000, not too bad. We'll see what the doubleheader is going to be like on Easter. But Rockies surged with a 8-run seventh inning. It's the 34th time, I think, in franchise history that they've had 8 runs in an inning. No, it's the 35th time, because the previous 34 times they were 32-2 when scoring 8 runs in an inning. So this was only their third time ever losing a game after scoring 3 runs in a single inning. It was so wild. Like I wrote it all down on my scorecard, but I still don't know that I could recall exactly what happened, because you had 8 runs being scored, but there were only 3 hits, and one of them was kind of a questionable hit. There were 2 hit batters. There were 3 walks. Mickey Moniak reached base twice, scored twice. You actually had a good at-bat from Michael Toglio where he had a sacrifice fly. That was really nice. He got a base hit for himself earlier on in the game as well, surrounding 3 strikeouts. Hunter Goodman had a good day at the plate, went 1-for-3 with 2 walks, scored 2 runs, put the ball in play each time. He was the only Rockies hitter that did not strike out once, along with Mickey Moniak. So you had a lineup that was looked very strange with both Tovar and Doyle, and even just the name of Chris Bryant not even in the lineup. It looked like a very beatable lineup, but that lineup scored 11 runs, which was pretty darn impressive to see. As I mentioned, Moniak going with home runs in back-to-back games, which was really good. Bouchard and Beck both recorded the first triple of their career during that seventh inning. 2 RBIs for Bouchard, who batted leadoff, and 3 RBI with the base-clearing triple for Jordan Beck. He also had Tyler Kinley staying on track. He's not allowed a hit or an earned run across 7 outings in the month of April now, 8 innings pitch, has walked 4 and struck out 9 across that span, but the Rockies fall to 3-16. That's a 158 winning percentage. Not great. Again, striking out 17 times, which tied a franchise record for most strikeouts at home. There were 4 other games in which they struck out 17 times. They've been outscored 47-23 over the 7-game losing streak, and now they've got a doubleheader where maybe they'll be able to split against Jake Irvin and Brad Lord. Doubleheaders are hard to sweep, but I don't know what to predict with this team right now and this offense, which, you know, did get a boost. And in fact, last 2 games, they've been boosted. Right, they've got 18 runs across their last 2 games, so maybe they are turning somewhat of a corner. You're going to get Kyle Freeland at the 110 game and Antonio Sensatella at the 610 game. 610 is when they're going to wear their City Connect. I actually talked with Kyle Freeland about the City Connect. Got to see him in person today for the first time, and I remember reading someone's article. It might have been Thomas Harding's. He mentioned something about the color pink, and I thought, No. There's no pink. It's orange. That's the laser orange in the jersey. There's no pink, but no, the laser orange is actually the pink, and what looked like the yellow numbers is actually the laser orange. So the razor pink is a little bit brighter than in the pictures, very much brighter, maybe too bright, but we saw a lot of young folks and a lot of people wearing those new City Connects. So I think they're going to sell out really well. Kyle definitely said he preferred the original one, saying that, you know, when he went away to school at the University of Evansville, and when he would drive around and he would see someone with a Colorado license plate, it made him feel back at home. And so, you know, as much as the flag for the Centennial State is iconic, and it absolutely is, and it's still a great flag, you know, say what you will about teams kind of phoning it in and going with those kind of colors, which is fine, but it is low-hanging fruit, as the Rockies themselves said when going to make this version 2.0. But, you know, Kyle said, you know, the license plate is definitely another one of those iconic images, the green and white mountains of Colorado. So he's going to miss the old ones for sure. But I think the guys have got some good swag on those new shoes that they've got coming in that are going to look sharp. And I think it's going to be a big success. The hats look really great. And a lot of good merch in the store. I took a bunch of photos, and you could see some of those over on social media, the jackets that they have, and other things that you don't even see online that they've got as caps. So I think that's pretty neat. Let's get to the Clint Hurdle business. He spoke for a little over 10 minutes, and I'm going to play you some of that audio here now, if not all of it. And he is definitely a motivational speaker. He wasn't trying to be. He just is naturally, but he wasn't trying to sell something to us in the media and try to portray this thing of like, hey, I've got the answers and I'm going to do this and whatever. But at least for me, my takeaway was like, wow, all of this sounds really good. And there's definitely going to be some runway and some benefit to this kind of speaking and a change in general and in tone. That's definitely going to boost his team. And hey, it worked so far for day one. Again, we'll see how long it lasts into the season, because again, if you don't have talent, you're just not going to win ball games. That is the bottom line. And one of the first things he said right out the gate, and you'll hear that here in just a moment, is that I am Bud Black's hitting coach, period. And that was something that in the emergency podcast, I didn't actually mention. I talked about it behind the scenes with a lot of people, this idea that, whoa, is the writing on the wall for Buddy? Like, is he just lurking there as this replacement? And yeah, I think there is some truth to that. You know, that's much more of a flashier name and a bigger splash than going with a Warren Schaefer or having the bench coach Mike Redman take over. But anyway, we'll see what happens with that going forward. But Clint Hurdle is a pro. And, you know, when Hurdle took his job in Colorado, one thing he brought in that 2009 season was he brought in two managers himself. He brought in Don Baylor, brought him back, a former Rockies manager, brought him back as a hitting coach, and then had Jim Tracy on his staff as well. And then Jim Tracy ended up replacing him. Well, now Bud Black has two former managers on his staff, with Clint Hurdle as the hitting coach and his bench coach and his right-hand man, Mike Redman. So that's going to make for just, again, a better staff, more minds, good minds in the room, a slightly different voice in the clubhouse. So I'll shut up, get out of the way. Here's Clint Hurdle and the press conference with Denver media introducing him as the new hitting coach of the Colorado Rockies.
What, from your perspective, went into this decision, and what do you hope to accomplish?
No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, Visit Hims.com/Hail Mary. That's Hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. Hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Big news! Wayfair's Black Friday sale is here, early. Right now at Wayfair, get up to 70% off everything you need for the season ahead. Save on kitchen and dining, bedroom furniture and mattresses, holiday decor, and way more. Now is the time to score big, from seasonal finds to favorites you'll use all year long. Plus, with Wayfair, enjoy fast and easy shipping, with delivery in time for the holidays. Save up to 70% off early Black Friday deals. Shop now at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Accomplish as the interim heading coach? Well, I think everybody in this room's probably got people they care for in their life and people they've built relationships with. And there's probably been situations where you've had people reach out to you for help in some hard times. And you can talk about being a friend. You can talk about being a helper. And in some situations, the best thing you can do is not talk about being a helper, is go be a helper. And that's basically what it came down to. The conversation started later Monday afternoon, and there needed to be conversation on both parts. I heard from Greg and Dick and Bill, and then I had some questions, and I wanted to make sure I had conversations with Buddy, because I'm here to be Buddy's hitting coach. And I want to make sure everybody's understanding of that. And I'm here to be Bud Black's hitting coach. I'm no stranger to challenges. Not that I'm inherently wired for them, but I've had some experience here in Pittsburgh. And I actually dropped back and ran this play 15 years ago in Texas. Went from being a manager to a hitting coach. So it's not unfamiliar territory for me. I hope to share some experience, and I hope to create some relationships where trust can be built sooner than later. Sometimes it takes longer, and we can find a way to lock arms and be the best version of our offense we haven't been yet.
Clint, you've had experience with some of these guys at the minor league level. How much do you feel like you've worked ahead in building trust with these guys?
I do believe there's some relationships that are in very good places already. There's a handful of guys I've never worked with. I got to see Mickey yesterday, Moniak. I got to spend some time with Martini. I've never worked with Mac. Stallings, I got some past history with in Pittsburgh. But KB is another one. You know, there's a handful of guys that it's been cordial hi at spring training. How you doing? And when I'm in here for a brief hello, it's been nothing to build anything upon other than a social friendship. The men that have been through our minor league program, and there's about, I think, 10 or 11 of the guys that I have spent time with. You know, I know the families. I know moms and dads. I know wives. I know kids. I know dogs. I know cats. And I know their swings a little bit. So I have I have some information to work from and work off of. And relationships, I think there's trust involved in most of those.
Can you talk about your hitting philosophy and maybe how it differs from what was here?
You know, one of the hard things you do when you come in after somebody is I've seen people come in, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. I mean, you actually think that we're going to try and do a lot of things, maybe we're already tried. And I've been the manager that's been fired. I've been the manager that's been hired. I've been a hitting coach. Nobody wakes up and says, I want to see if I can come in here and not have production on my job. And I know Bam Bam personally. You know, I don't know many hitting coaches can also say they had 3 World Series rings and being a hitting coach. Sometimes situations just don't work. I'm going to try some things that maybe have been talked about. I'll find out today when I meet with the hitters for the first time as a group. But I hate to share a lot of the things because, you know, you guys will put them on social media and then they'll be picking it up in the other clubhouse.
we are going to be aggressive at the plate. I think everything starts with a thought. So I'm probably going to start working from the inside out first. They all have swings. But when the swings become mechanical and robotic, they're not so much swings as they become exercises. And I want to try and tighten them up mentally and loosen them up physically. I'll give you that.
You mentioned Monday being the day after the three shutouts where the conversation really started to happen. What was that conversation like, and when did your name kind of get inserted in there as the replacement option?
Well, it wasn't after the three shutouts. It was after the LA series. And actually some games when I scored some runs. It was when I walked into Fresno last Monday. That was the first that I've become aware of. There wasn't any flags coming up any other time. They asked me, quite frankly, if I was in a good spot to talk. And I said, yeah, I'm in my car. I'll get ready to go to the hotel. I'm in an isolated spot. So then we just started having a conversation. Fortunately for me, I've seen a lot in the game. I've been around the game. So it didn't surprise me where I was shocked or I couldn't think. Or I wanted to hear their reasoning why. And I wanted to hear why they felt that I would be the man that they could turn to help. And as I said before, this is about care. And it's also about the 300 full-time employees that work here. Because it's hard around here. Like I said earlier, I've been fortunate to do some hard. And I'm not afraid to do hard. And if there's... Everybody's got a lock. I've brought a bunch of keys. I hope to open some locks while I'm here. Not one key doesn't fit all. And when you've got 13 different men you're working with, one size doesn't fit all. But I've got some thoughts already established, and I've watched a lot of video before coming in here. And we'll have a conversation. We'll talk about what they're feeling, what they're seeing, what they're thinking.
We know that the Rockies have some good hitters. We've seen, Tolia last year really blossom at the end of the year, Tovar, McMahon. It just feels like things are a little bit off right now, obviously. Does that give you hope, though, that that you can get them back to where they need to be pretty quickly?
Well, there needs to be some urgency. You'll hear people say, we've only played 18 games. Well, we've played 18 games. And there's been a common theme in most of the 18 games. We need to reverse the theme. We need to get a foot down, and we need to get some traction on offense. And one of the things I do share with people, when you talk about traction, sometimes that comes with friction. And when you have conversations, it's not going to be all feel good. There needs to be reality. There needs to be honest self-evaluation. And one thing I can share is some of my past experiences, because I can tell what won't work offensively. I can just flip the back of my ball card over. They all have best versions of themselves that have not gotten out yet consistently. There's no doubt in my mind.
Hey, Clint, big picture question. You've been associated with this franchise for many years, back in the day, and then you left, and now you've been back for a while. I know from my interaction, the fans right now are incredibly frustrated and angry. Some are kind of apathetic, truthfully. Being somebody who cares so much about this franchise, what would your message at this stage be to the fans who have followed this team for so many years?
Well, fans always need to feel what they need to feel. And I think they're tired of hearing things. We need to give them some action. We need to give them some on-field support, something they can buy into, and something they can rally around and hope for as well. So I've been a part of that apathy back through some pretty lean days back when I was the manager here from 02 through 06. So if they're looking for my character defects, they got a whole bunch they can pick from. Try and get the focus off the players. But sometimes, and not for any other reference, but there has to be hope. Now, from the fans' part, they choose whether they want to or not. I'm just hoping that they'll hang in there with us a little bit longer.
So, Clint, my question is more philosophical. You and I talked a year ago about your leadership style. Brené Brown came up in the conversation. When you released Hurdleisms, that's sort of your leadership philosophy. I know that you say in it, among other things, that you want to simplify and only eat the elephant one bite at a time. How do you intend to approach eating this particular elephant, which is a lack of offense?
Well, I think you revisit offensive staples on things that have worked over the whole history of the game offensively. You know, what are you hunting at the plate? Where are your hot zones? You know, are we trying to do too much? I think there comes an opportunity in today's game we can declutter at times. We can try and simplify. We can eliminate some things. I think we, when I first look at a hitter, I work from the feet up. I don't look at, you know, I lay the foundation. But the messaging needs to be clear, clean, and accurate. There has to be an understanding. I'm going to definitely need feedback. We don't want a bunch of bobbleheads. And there's going to be things, I'm sure, that have been put in play. But maybe there's a different way to try them again. The game, for most of the elite players, they're stubborn. Elite players are stubborn. When they find something that works, they hunt it, they stay with it. I think us that aren't elite, I'm not. Normally, if I don't have some success, I'm really good at lane changing. You know, well, that didn't work. Let me jump over here. What you get good at when you do that a lot is changing lanes. Have you ever been on a road driving next to the guy that flies by you three times, and each time you pull up the red light, you're right next to him? That's kind of like hitting can be at times. We get in a hurry, and all we do is change lanes. We don't accomplish anything. So I have been asking them to get stubborn with some things and show some consistencies with some things.
Going back to when you left the Pirates and you retired from baseball, did you have a feeling, though, somewhere along the line that you would be back in a uniform, in a dugout, hands-on with baseball players?
Well, if that was my goal, I could have done that when I left Pittsburgh, because I've had two opportunities since then to get back in a dugout. If it was all about getting back in a dugout, I'd be back in the dugout. It was never about getting back in the dugout. It was getting away. There was a time when I thought, you know, how can I ever leave the game? I'll tell you what, one of the best 2 years I've had in my life is I was removed from the game. Because I was able to pour back into my family, my kids, my wife. Kind of refine myself outside of the game and not wearing a uniform. And I got to a very comfortable place. So I did not see this coming. I'm not built for comfort and convenience. I'm more built for commitment and conviction. So this, in its own sense, is a very attractive opportunity for me to make a difference with these men and with our fan base and for Bud.
You mentioned at the start you're Bud Black's hitting coach. We know there are some optics out there about two managers being in the dugout. How do you navigate through, or is there anything to navigate through with that relationship?
I don't think anybody understands the role of a manager better than a former manager. In 2009, I brought two of them in the building, Jim Tracy and Don Baylor, because of the best moves for the organization, it was the best moves for the ball club. We're pros. Buddy and I have had some very, very quality conversations already.
At Patrick D. Lyons, at Patrick D. Lyons MLB, at Rockies _ insider on all the social medias. I feel like I've left some meat on the bone here with this game recap, but guess what? With two more games coming on Sunday, I definitely will have an opportunity to spill the beans on some of those conversations going on behind the scenes, let you know what's happening on the inside of the Rockies clubhouse as always. And as always, I want to thank you for providing me with a good amount of momentum here late on a Saturday night as I record this. Got back in after hitting up a record store. I'm addicted to vinyl records now, guys. I put it off for 10 years. 10 years. I knew that I wanted to get into record collecting, and I didn't because I knew how addicted I would be. And lo and behold, I got myself a record player, and now I can't stop. I can't stop it. It's wild. But you know what? You can help me a little bit if you give me a review somewhere that you listen to this podcast, or go online, subscribe if you don't already to the YouTube channel. Throw a like, throw a comment. I respond to every single comment on the YouTube channel. So I appreciate those folks that do. Then I appreciate you for listening to this and providing me the momentum I needed to fulfill this podcast for you. Leave it in your inbox there early, first thing Sunday morning. But momentum, unfortunately, as I like to say, momentum, it can only be as good as my next show. So naturally, I'll talk to you then.
Life is unpredictable, but preparing for the unexpected shouldn't be. Take ownership of your life planning with Policy Genius to help your loved ones have a financial safety net in case something happens to you. They offer life insurance policies starting at just $276 a year for $1 million in coverage. Don't wait for life to make other plans. Protect your family today. Head to policygenius.com. That's policygenius.com.